Lord God, we thank you for your word. Please help us to hear your voice and to respond as you want us to. For your name's sake, amen. We're following Psalm 4 in the little series we've been following through this summer break. We've done Psalm 1, Psalm 2, we're jumping to Psalm 4, which is a good psalm for all those who struggle to have a good night's sleep. It's a prayer. It's a prayer for those who struggle to sleep. I guess it doesn't directly help your sleep problems if they're to do with a baby crying or with the snoring of others. Maybe earplugs or music might help with that. But if you're struggling to sleep because you're distressed or troubled, and it's going over and over in your mind as you lay there, then this psalm is the one to sing, the one to pray. Can you see how it ends up? Psalm 4, the last verse, verse 8, I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. That's where it ends up. He lies down and falls asleep almost at the same time, both together. How? Because the Lord has helped him to be unafraid. It's not so much about safety, it's about courage and trust, the words behind that word. His situation is stressful, but he has courage and trust and a good conscience, and so he sleeps. So that's where the psalm is going. Let's look at the beginning now. This bedtime prayer. Can you see the beginning of the psalm? There's a subtitle that says, to the leader with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. So the first part of that subtitle means it's to the leader of the musicians. It's got a good tune if you want to sing it. And then it says, it's one of David's. David was a person who had years of stress. For a long time, he was on the run in fear of his life for no good reason. So he knows what it's like praying when you feel hemmed in. He knew how to pray, even in the stress, so that he had a good night's sleep, which is such a good gift when you're up against it in that way. And so the psalm starts in verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. As is often the case with a needy person, the prayer is straight to the point, which is good. David needs the help of God, and because he is one of God's people, he asks boldly for a good answer. No point beating around the bush when we're praying to God, especially when we need help. God knows. At the same time, the prayer is thankful and respectful. David remembers gratefully how the Lord has helped him before and says it. When I was hemmed in, you gave me room. Thank you. And please, in your kindness, help me again. That's how to ask, isn't it? Straight to the point, thankful and respectful. It's a good way to start the prayer. And really, we need to encourage one another to pray more like that, don't you think? Why not, when you pray, start with thanks, even if you're feeling stressed. Respectfully, remember out loud how the Lord has answered prayers before, and then ask straightforwardly. It's good praying. Let's pray like that. And then the middle part of the psalm, we hear the things which are causing distress, the reasons for sleepless nights. Three reasons. First of all, in verse 2, how long, you people, shall my honour suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? So people have been associating David with wrong and accusing him of things, either behind his back or to his face. Vain words and lies, false promises, wishful thinking, and downright untruths, it seems. And isn't it the case that people prefer these things much too often to the truth? And so that's what they say about people or to people. It's true, isn't it, that people love a conspiracy theory, because they often prefer the exciting thing that probably isn't true, when they would be much better to stick to the facts and the most likely thing, or the plain truth. And I notice that lies and slanders often go viral, and people's character and good name can be compromised or damaged or trashed for no good reason. And that seems to be the sort of thing which David is talking about. How long, you people, shall my honour suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? This seems to be one of the things that is stressing David. That's his misfortune. And it obviously gone on for a while. It's so stressful being talked about falsely. And my observation is that people in positions of responsibility in our country are more and more subject to false accusation and misrepresentation in our days. Because it's too easy to make up complaints and get away with it. How do we still have a good night's sleep under such stress? Well, David reveals part of his secret in verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. He's having a little talk to himself. Don't let that stuff get you down. It's not worth it. But know this. Put this in your mind. That the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself and does hear when I call to him. Because David knows that he's one of God's people and that God's choice of us for his people means much more than any malicious character defamation that can take away. And as one of God's people, David knows that the Lord hears him. Others might twist what he says, but the Lord knows and hears, and that means such a lot. And that kind of support helps us sleep. Let's go on to the next thing that's going on in David's life. Verse 4, when you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Well, the word disturbed there probably isn't a fulsome rendering of what it says in the Hebrew. Can you see at the bottom of the page, if you've got the church Bibles, it says note C, or are angry. When you are angry, do not sin. And this fits in with the way that this verse is quoted in the New Testament. When you are angry, do not sin. Indeed, it looks like there's an allusion to it in Ephesians 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, so then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbours, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Can you see the allusion there? The allusion to Psalm 4. It is easy to be angry when you are suffering injustice and people having a go at you for no good reason. And it is easy for that anger to result in hot-headedness, which can lead us to retaliate in a way which is wrong and which we later regret. So don't do that, the prayer is saying. David is reminding himself, when you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. And then it goes on, offer right sacrifices, put your trust in the Lord. So getting angry, worked up, agitated, which is what happens when we feel hemmed in, we're stressed because of what others are doing to us, doesn't help us sleep, does it? We go over things again and again. But we want a good night's sleep. So another thing we need to watch out for is making hot-headed instant retaliations that again doesn't help us sleep, because we overreact and make things worse and make good sleep less likely. Better to sleep on it and respond according to a right conscience. And the clear conscience will help us to sleep, however bad the circumstances. Yeah, do you see how this prayer, in praying this prayer, David's ministering to himself, even though he's on his own. He's helping himself at that the troubling time of bedtime. There's a third cause of stress, which may lead to sleepless nights, but it needn't. Verse 6, there are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. Well, that prayer might sound good to you, but really, you know who that is praying that, don't you? It's Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. The sort of person who responds to stressful unfairness by being doleful and defeatist. Oh, that we might see some good. That doesn't help us sleep either. Getting down and depressed about things tends not to help us sleep. We need to take ourselves to task and give ourselves a little talking to, like David is in his psalm here, and hang on to the encouragements we have. Verse 7, you have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. So he's looking at the ones who have it in for him, and he's seeing that they've got lots of grain and wine. They seem to be enjoying themselves in that rather superficial way, which happens when people party all the time. But he's saying, actually, you've put gladness in my heart that's even greater than that. Much greater than that. So that's an encouragement, even though he's being got at by these people. And it's better to express inward and outward joy than to get into a cycle of despair, because that affects our sleep badly as well. If we have our sleep messed up, we will get into some sort of circle, a vicious circle, and an even deeper slough of despond. Best to express the gladness that we have in our heart somewhere, dig it out and express it. That's the way in which David, through his praying, helped himself to sleep soundly and find peace, even though it wasn't coming from those around him. Will we pray like this? Address ourselves like this? Address the Lord like this? Not just to improve our sleep, but much more to pray faithfully when things are pressing in and the pressure and stress feels like a trap. There is space with the Lord and sleep. And it's worth singing about, praying about. Psalm 4. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this prayer. Help us to pray it and mean it. For your name's sake. Amen.